You're listening to SBS News.
More than 3.2 million Australians are living with chronic pain, and that's expected to rise to more than 5.2 million people by 2050. The disabling condition costs Australia an estimated $73 billion a year in treatment and lost productivity. But new approaches to pain management are bringing some hope to those affected. Sister Mary Lynn Cochran lives with debilitating arthritis and nerve pain. Her injuries and surgeries include her Achilles tendon snapping off, ankle and bone transplants, 3 knee replacements, 3 hip replacements, along with other surgeries and related conditions. Along with multiple surgeries, she's spent 30 years on opioids to manage the pain.
I took them until I sort of could manage without pain. And then as the surgeries progressed, I was taking them longer and longer for longer periods after. To the stage where I was on slow release all the time. I stopped doing things because I was just lethargic and didn't care, and depression, it affected me socially, emotionally, physically.
While opioids still play a role in managing chronic pain, an array of new pain management approaches are also being increasingly used. Many pain management experts now believe the best management for most people's chronic pain remains the holistic biopsychosocial treatment approach, or multidisciplinary pain management. The CEO of advocacy group Pain Australia, Carol Bennett, explains what this treatment approach is about.
It's really about having a team of health professionals who can work with a person and around their individual circumstances to give them the best possible care. So it might be a psychologist, a nutritionist, certainly exercise physiologists are important too, a GP, all those sorts of elements that encompass all of those physical, psychological and medical aspects of care.
7 years ago, Sister Cochran tried the biopsychosocial approach to manage her pain. She attended a pain clinic at a Sydney hospital where she learnt to think about her pain differently and manage it with daily meditation, Pilates and exercise. She also has at least 2 physiotherapy sessions a week along with other treatments. Even now, during the coronavirus crisis, Sister Cochran is able to keep seeing her physio, her nutritionist and her GP either one-on-one or virtually via Zoom. She now prefers oxycodone to be a last resort rather than the first thing she reaches for to treat her pain.
The tools that I got for like meditation, mindfulness, moving, things that I thought I couldn't do, learning that my brain is such a powerful organ and that I can change the patterns of my brain to trick my pain. And that's what I do now. And it's worked really well for me. But now I am in control, not the pain.
Ms. Bennett says multidisciplinary pain clinics can help people manage the various treatment elements. She says while opioids are excellent in managing acute pain, they come with more complications with long-term use. She says in some complex cases of chronic pain where opioids are part of the treatment plan, their use should be closely monitored by a pain specialist.
And if you're using them for a long time, probably a pain specialist would be really useful because they can coordinate the range of therapies and services that might help somebody, you know, manage this kind of pain in the longer term, where medication shouldn't really be the key treatment. It certainly shouldn't be the go-to. It should be something that's used for a period of time and then ideally tapered and other therapies brought in to help manage the pain.
Bianca is 27 years old and she's experienced severe migraines every day since she was 15 years old. She describes the pain as sharp and unrelenting. They can go on for hours and sometimes days on end if she does not medicate. Bianca has tried all sorts of medications and treatments such as meditation and mindfulness. About a year ago, she started taking a new medication which targets a molecule called calcitonin gene-related peptide, or CGRP, which is synthesised in the body's brain and spinal cord neurons. She says it's changed her life.
The migraine's sort of there just lurking, but nothing seems to really set it off, and I might only get maybe 4 attacks in a month, which is huge for me. for a lot of normal people, they might go, oh my God, four in a month, how do you deal with that? It's just nothing compared to what it was. And I managed to get a full-time job for the first time in my life, and I was able to pay the rent and support myself, so it's been incredible.
But the drug comes with a major catch, its cost. For the moment, Bianca is on what is known as the Patient Familiarisation Program. But when this ends in April, Bianca will be forced to spend $800 a month.
The PBAC, which is an association that actually refers the drug onto PBS, has decided to put a few roadblocks in the way and make it very difficult for the company to actually get that recommendation for the PBS. So they've now, after three attempts, just given up. And I don't blame them, to be honest.
Ms. Bennett agrees affordability can be an issue for some people on new pain management medications.
Look, I think we have a really good system in the PBS in Australia at assessing whether or not drugs should be subsidised by the national scheme. Certainly, there are some really good emerging therapies, and particularly in that migraine space. And obviously, we'd like to see those therapies made more available. Often, it's a cost issue, and that is really difficult.
A number of publicly funded options are available for people affected by chronic pain, including GP chronic disease management plans, GP mental health plans, and other team care arrangements. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.